So we go back to a little bit, last time, still 1937, and Jesus' words. This is February 17, 1937. This morning, during Holy Mass, I saw the suffering Jesus. His passion was imprinted on my body in an invisible manner, but no less painfully. Stick with the five places you feel the pain. Can't see, no external sign. Jesus looked at me and said, "Souls perish in spite of my bitter passion. I'm giving them the last hope of salvation, that is, the feast of my mercy. If they will not adore my mercy, they will perish for eternity. Secretary of my mercy, write, tell souls about this great mercy of mine, because the awful day, the day of my justice, is near. Today I heard this in my soul, these words, my daughter, it is time for you to take action. I am with you. Great persecutions and sufferings are in store for you. But be comforted by the thought that many souls will be saved and sanctified by this work. Persecution and sufferings in store." When I set to work at undermining the Lord's words, and thus was going through everything in sequence, I reached the page where I had marked down Father Andreas' advice and directions. I didn't know what to do, to underline or not to underline. And then I heard these words in my soul. Underline, because these words are mine. I have borrowed the lips of the friend of my heart in order to speak to you and reassure you. You are to observe these directions until your death. It would not please me at all if you were to disobey these directions. Know that it is I who have placed him between myself and your soul. I'm doing this to set you at peace and so that you may not err. Still continue Jesus' word. Since I have placed you in this priest's special care, you are thus exempted from giving a detailed account to your superior concerning my relationship with you. In all other matters, be as a child with your superiors. But whatever I do in the depths of your soul is to be told with all frankness only to the priests. So each one have a different assignment. It's different charisma. The superior, of course, not controlling, but the one who expressed the will of God for her daily life. But as far as the inspiration is concerned, the priest will give her the direction. And I have noticed that from the time God gave me a spiritual director, he has not required me to report everything to the superiors, as was the case before, but only that which concerns external matters. Apart from these, only the director knows my soul. To have a spiritual director is a special grace of God. Oh, how few have received it. The soul remains in constant peace amidst the greatest difficulties. Every day after Holy Communion, I thank the Lord Jesus for this grace. And every day I ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten him. I've truly experienced in my soul what power the director's words have. Blessed be God's mercy for this grace. Today I went to meditate before the Blessed Sacrament in the Sanatorium Chapel. When I approached the altar, God's presence pervaded my soul. I was plunged into the ocean of His divinity. And Jesus said to me, "My daughter, all that exists is yours." I answered the Lord, "My heart wants nothing but you alone, O treasure of my heart. For all the gifts you give me, thank you. O Lord, but I desire only your heart. Though the heavens are immense, they are nothing to me without you. You know very well, O Jesus, that I am constantly swooning because of my longing for you." The word of Jesus. "Notice, my daughter, that you are already tasting now what other souls will obtain only in eternity." So she experienced something in heaven already. And all of a sudden, my soul was flooded with the light of the knowledge of God. Oh, would that I could express even a little of what my soul experiences when resting near the heart of the incomprehensible majesty. I cannot put it into words. Only a soul who has experienced such a grace at least once in his life will recognize it. When I returned to my room, it seemed to me that I was coming from real life to death. The experience with the Lord is a real life. Coming to life is like death. No night, no taste. When a doctor came to take my pulse, he was surprised. "Sister, what happened? You have never had a pulse like this. I would like to know what was speeded it up so much." We sit with the Lord. What could I tell him when I myself did not know that my pulse was so rapid? I only know that I am dying of yearning for God. But this I did not tell him. For how can medicine help in this instance? February 19, 1937. Contact with the dying. They asked me for prayer, and I can pray as the Lord grants me an extraordinary spirit of prayer. I'm constantly united with Him, and I'm fully aware that I live for souls in order to bring them to your mercy. O Lord, in this matter, no sacrifice is too insignificant. Today, the doctor decided that I am to stay here until April. It is God's will, even though I did want to be back in the company of my sisters. I learned today about the death of one of our sisters who died in Plock, but she visited me even before they told me about the death. February 22, 1937. Today, they began in our chapel a retreat for the hospital attendants. Although anyone who wishes may take part in it, there is one conference a day. Father Bonaventure speaks for a whole hour, and he speaks directly to souls. I took part in this retreat as I very much decided to know God more deeply and to love Him more ardently. For I have understood that the greater the knowledge, the stronger the love. So it is. Not because I have love. It's not enough. You have to know. Read the gospel. But today, I heard these words. "Pray for souls that they be not afraid to approach the tribunal of my mercy. Do not grow weary of praying for sinners, you know, what a burden their souls are to my heart. Beneath my deathly sorrow, dispense my mercy. So you can see people are still obstinate, not believing. February 24, 1937, today during Holy Mass, I saw the dying Jesus. The sufferings of the Lord pierced my soul and body in an invisible manner. The pain is enormous, though it lasts a very short while. During the singing of the Lenten lamentations, I'm so taken up with his passion that I cannot withhold my tears. I would like to hide somewhere in order to give myself freely to the sorrow which flows from the consideration of his passion. Some people it's easier, for some it's very difficult to cry, and she's very easy to cry. With the hide. tears. When I was praying for the intention of Father Andres, I learned how very pleasing he is to God. Since then, I have had even greater respect for him, as for a saint. This has given me great joy, and I thank God fervently for it. Today at benediction, I saw Jesus, and he spoke these words to me. Be obedient to your director in everything. His word is my will. Be certain in the depths of your soul that it is I who am speaking through his lips, and I decide that you reveal the state of the soul to him with the same simplicity and candor as you have with me. I say it again, my daughter, know that his word is my will for you. Today I saw the Lord in great beauty, and he said to me, my loving host, pray for priests, especially during this time of harvest. My heart is pleased with you, and for your sake I am blessing the earth. You need people who love God extremely, completely. It soothes the pain of Jesus. The same, Jesus need your offering. I understood that these 2 years of interior suffering, which I have undergone in submission to God's will, in order to know it better, have advanced me further in perfection than the previous 10 years. For 2 years now, I have been on the cross between heaven and earth. You can imagine, I think physical suffering and spiritual suffering all together. That's to say, I'm bound by the vow of obedience and must obey the superior as God himself. And on the other hand, God makes his will known to me directly. And so my inner torture is so great that no one will either understand or imagine these spiritual sufferings. It seems to me that it would be easier to give up my life than to go again and again through 1 hour of such pain. No way out. I'm not even going to write much about this matter, because one cannot describe what it is like to know God's will directly and at the same time to be perfectly obedient to the divine will as expressed indirectly through the superiors. So many times Jesus answered to one thing, the superior said, no way. So you can imagine, you know, what to do, what to follow. Complete darkness. Thanks be to God that he has given me a director, and he's completely listened to him and not to tell the superior. Otherwise, I would not have advanced one single step. You can imagine so much pressure from the community. She cannot walk. Nobody believe, I think. Even the superior. You can imagine, oh, come on, Faustine, you're thinking too much. Silly things. Only spiritual director can understand. Many times like this, even our or humanize, you know, community. Some people are more thinking than others. In their time, they say, come on, you think too much. I recently received a lovely letter from my dear 17-year-old sister, Wanda. She's begging and entreating me to help her enter the convent. She's ready for sacrifices for God. I can tell from a letter that the Lord Himself is guiding her. And I rejoice in God's great mercy. It's a sister, 17 years old. I think when she joined the convent, she is the little boy baby, you know, the little sister Wanda. Now she wants to join the congregation. Today the majesty of God enveloped and transfers my soul to its very depths. The greatness of God is pervading my being and flooding me so that I am completely drowning in His greatness. I'm dissolving and disappearing entirely in Him as in my life source, as in perfect light. My Jesus, I understand well that my perfection consists not in the fact that You command me to carry out these great works of Yours. Oh no, the soul's greatness does not consist in this, but in great love for You. Not because of a big errand to do, a mission, so You're important. No, she said, it's more important, my love for Him is most important. Otherwise, I'm a carrier of these big messages to the world and feel proud. Oh Jesus, in the depths of my soul, I understand that the greatest achievements cannot compare with one act of pure love for You. Pure love, only, not for the sake of people or appreciation of people. Many times confused. We do good and she treat you better. So we do good in exchange. I decide to be faithful to You and to do Your bidding. I'm making use of my strength and my reason to carry out all You are asking of me. But I have not the least shadow of attachment to all this. I do it all because such is Your will. All my soul is drowned, not in Your works, but in You Yourself, O my Creator and Lord. So many times the work is more important than, so very important. I'm the superior. So everybody look at me and speak what I say, yes. That's not the beauty. For her is only doing the will of the Father. February 25th, 1937, I prayed earnestly for a happy death on behalf of a certain soul who was suffering much. For 2 weeks, she had remained between life and death. I was touched with pity for her and said to the Lord, sweet Jesus, if the works I am undertaking for Your glory are pleasing to You, then please take her to Yourself and let her rest in Your mercy. I was strangely reassured, and after a short while, He came to tell me that the person who had been suffering so much had just died. I saw a certain priest, probably Father Sopoko, in need and prayed for him until Jesus looked upon him with kindness and granted him his strength. Today, I came to know that a member of my family is offending God and is in great peril of death. This knowledge pierced my soul with such great pain that I thought I would not survive that offense against God. I begged God's pardon, but I saw His great anger. I was praying for a certain priest, probably Father Sopoko, asking God to help him in certain matters when I suddenly saw Jesus crucified. His eyes were closed and was immersed in torture. I worshipped His 5 wounds, each one separately. and ask His blessing for him. Jesus came to know interior how dear that soul was to him, and I felt that grace was flowing from Jesus' wounds upon the soul who, like Jesus, is also set upon the cross. My Lord, my God, you know that it is you alone whom my soul has come to love. My soul is entirely drowned in you, O Lord. Even if I did not accomplish any of the things that you have made known to me, O Lord, I would be completely at peace because I would have done what I could. I know well, O Lord, that you have no need of our works. You demand love, 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 and once again, love of God. There's nothing greater in heaven or on earth. The greatest greatness is to love God. True greatness is in loving God. Real wisdom is to love God. All that is great and beautiful in God. There is no beauty or greatness outside of Him. O you sages of the world and you great minds, recognize that true greatness is in loving God. Oh, how astonished I am that some people deceive themselves, saying there is no eternity. February 26, 1937. Today I saw how the holy mysteries were being celebrated without liturgical vestments and in private homes because of a passing storm. So no mass in the church. This storm. And I saw the sun come out from the Blessed Sacrament and all other lights went out. Or rather, they were dimmed and all the people were looking toward these lights. But at the present time, I do not understand the meaning of this vision. I'm going forward through life amidst rainbows and storms, but with my head held high with pride, for I am a royal child. I feel that the blood of Jesus is circulating in my veins, and I have put my trust in the great mercy of the Lord. I asked the Lord to have a certain person come to visit me today so that I could see her one more time. And that would be a sign for me that she was being called to the convent which Jesus is having me establish. And, oh wonder, the person in question came and I tried to form her a bit spiritually. I began to show her the way of self-denial and sacrifice, which she readily accepted. However, I have placed this whole matter in the hands of the Lord, that He may direct everything according to His good pleasure. Today, when I heard the hymn, "Good Night, So Holy Head of My Jesus," on the radio, my spirit was suddenly drowned in God, and divine love flooded my soul. I dwelt for a moment with the Heavenly Father. These poems. Although it's not easy to live in constant agony, to be nailed to the cross of various pains, still I'm inflamed with love by loving. And like the seraph, I love God, though I am but witness. O great is the soul that midst suffering stands faithfully by God and does His will and remains uncomforted midst great rainbows and storms. For God's pure love sweetened her fate. It's no great thing to love God in prosperity and thank Him when all goes well, but rather to adore Him amidst great adversities, and love Him for His own sake, and place one's hope in Him. What sows in the shadows of Gethsemane, all along in the bitterness of pain, it ascends towards the heights of Jesus. And though every ever drinking bitterness, it is not sad. When a soul does the will of the Most High God, even amidst constant pain and torments, having pressed its lips to the chalice proffered, it becomes mighty and nothing will grant it. Though tortured, it repeats, "Your will be done." Patiently awaits the moment of its transfiguration. For though in deepest darkness, its heart, the voice of Jesus, "You are mine," and this, it will know fully when the veil falls. This recitation. February 28, 1937. Today, I'm going the passion of Jesus for a longer time, and thus I saw the many souls were in need of prayer. I feel that I'm being completely transformed into prayer in order to beg God's mercy for every soul. Oh my Jesus, I'm receiving you into my heart as a pledge of mercy for souls. This evening, when I heard the hymn, "Good Night, Holy Head of My Jesus," on the radio, my spirit was suddenly swept away to God's mysterious bosom, and I knew in what the greatness of a soul consists and what matters to God. Love, love, and once more love. And I understood how all that exists is saturated with God. And such a love of God inundated my soul that I am at a loss to describe it. Happy the soul that knows how to love unreservedly, for in this life, what in this lies is greatness. Today, I took part in a one-day retreat. When I was at the last conference, the priest was speaking of how much the world needs God's mercy, and that this seems to be a special time when people have great need of prayer and God's mercy. Then I heard a voice in my soul. These words are for you. Do all you possibly can for this work of my mercy. I decide that my mercy be worshipped, and I'm giving mankind the last hope of salvation, that is, recourse to my mercy. My heart rejoices in this feast. After these words, I understood that nothing can dispense me from obligation which the Lord demands for me. Last night, I was in such pain that I thought it was the end. The doctors could not diagnose what the sickness was. I felt as if my entrails had been torn to shreds. But after a few hours of such sufferings, I'm all right. All this is for sinners. Let your mercy descend upon them, O Lord. Reflection. In the terrible desert of life, O my sweet Jesus, protect souls from disaster, for you are the fountain of mercy. Let the resplendence of your rays, O sweet commander of our souls, that mercy change the world, and you who have received this grace, serve Jesus. Steep is the great highway I'm traveling, but I fear nothing, for the pure font of mercy is flowing for my sake, and with it strengthen for the humble soul. I am exhausted and worn out, but my conscience bears me witness that I do all for the greater glory of the Lord. The Lord who is my repose and my heritage. This end of notebook 2 of the diary. So next week we start the book 3. It's important. I think Jesus is asking her just be obedient. It's not easy. As a nun, she has got two superiors. One is her superior, one is Jesus. And many times, his own superior on earth doesn't know know anything about Jesus' words for her. So many times it creates for her kind of dilemma, what to follow. And that fortunately, then Jesus taught her, just follow the direction of the spiritual director. All I told you, just speak to the spiritual director. The rest, obedient to the superior, because you are on the vow of obedience, living the community life. But this is a special gift, so it doesn't concern the superior of the community. So just listen to the priest chosen for her, to guide her. So many times, you have to choose the right thing to the right time to pray.